This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Sam Gracie, Canada's leading researcher. And Sam, one of the things that, people are becoming more and more concerned of and aware of, and I think it affects pretty much every family, is a little bit of dementia, Alzheimer's, as people age, forgetfulness. What are some of the things that we can do for that?
Well, there's a famous physician who's been on many talk shows, and people have heard him talk lately, Dr. Robert Lustig, and he's from the University of San Francisco. And he's been doing a lot of work in terms of the brain. He started with children, hyperactivity, learning disability, lack of attention, but he's brought it into the entire area of the brain, the way the brain works, what is not good for the brain. And basically it comes down to sugar and sweeteners. So Dr. Lustig emphasizes that today's generation of children, because of diet, may end up being the first with a shorter life expectancy than their parents. Sometimes less is really more when it comes to sweeteners. They are the first generation. So what he has found is that sugar, called glucose, stimulates an insulin secretion from the pancreas that causes a lot of problems with our energy decline and brain functioning. But he found out that fructose is even worse. So we have to look for fructose. It's ubiquitous. It's in everything. It's hidden by a couple of names. But worse than sugar is fructose. They're in little packages of vitamin C. They're just kind of everywhere. And then Dr. Johnson, a neurologist, also from the University of Colorado in Denver, just wrote a book, The Sugar Fix. And he proposes that uric acid produced by the constant loose free-flowing fructose used as a sweetener over a long period of time gets into the liver, spills over, floods into the bloodstream, and it promotes insulin resistance, leading to fat belly, weight gain, and it also leads to a disorganization of the capability of the brain to function well. So cheap corn-derived glucose is turned into fructose, and it's called high fructose corn syrup. There's several names for it. It's 55% fructose, 42% glucose, 3% sugars, and it's a real cheap alternative to sugar cane or beets or regular sugar, which even appears to be a little better. And one 8-ounce glass of orange juice, for instance, has about 6 full teaspoons of sugar, and at least 50% of that sugar is fructose, a whopping 25 grams of fructose. The most we should get is 15 grams of fructose a day. It'd be one or two pieces of high-quality, good fruit. So a UCLA study last year in the Journal of Physiology investigated the high effects of high fructose syrup, similar to high fructose corn syrup, and they found that after 6 weeks of being fed high fructose corn syrup in a regular diet, brain cells of rats had trouble signaling each other. They experienced memory decline, confusion, inability to think clearly, lack of memory. So Dr. McCullough has been very big on this too, Dr. Richard Johnson, University of Colorado, doing the research. But the leader is Dr. Robert Lustig, L-U-S-T-I-G, professor of pediatrics at the University of California in San Francisco, and he's written several books, and he is showing that elevated glucose gets into the brain and causes perpetual addiction cycles. It makes us crave. He has found that sugar, fructose, and sweeteners act as opioids in the brain, like opium.
Sam, we're right out of time, but I'm wondering if you could just summarize quickly, just in 30 seconds or so, and maybe just give people a number or an email or the website where they can contact you if you want more information.
All this information, we're available at Genuine Health, GenuineHealth.com, GenuineHealth.com. Look up Greens Plus Extra Energy. All the information's there, and Greens Plus Extra Energy is the natural way to 100% energy, 0% crash, all clean nutrition.
Thanks, Sam Gracie.
Thank you, Dave Fuller.
Thanks. Well, our next guest, Lorna Vanderhaeghe, is a women's health expert who has been researching the subject of nutritional medicine for over 25 years. She has a master's of science and a degree in biochemistry. She's written a number of books, including A Smart Woman's Guide to Weight Loss. Lorna, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, let's start off by talking about perhaps what people, what women should be doing after Christmas. If do you have any resolutions that people should be thinking about, or what should they be doing?
Well, I think everybody thinks about, you know, the classic resolutions. The number one New Year's resolution is to lose weight and to eat better. But really, in January, what we all should be doing, men and women, is going to our doctors and having some tests done. And if we do it every January, then we'll be able to start collecting this information over time and starting our home health file. So things like having your thyroid checked, because if you've got low thyroid and you start a weight loss program, you're not going to lose any weight whatsoever. You can starve and run on the treadmill because your thyroid causes your metabolic rate or your fat burning furnace to become so low it doesn't do the job very effectively. So things like having your thyroid checked and having your iron checked and your hemoglobin and ferritin and having your cholesterol checked and a CRP to see how much inflammation you have going on in the body. And make sure when you go to the doctor and you get this test requisition that you then tell the lab that you want to keep, you want to have a copy of your test results. And in BC, they give you a code, in BC and Ontario, they give you a code, and you'll be able to go tomorrow and print off your test results off the internet. So before you decide to start your weight loss program or start your New Year's resolutions, it might be a good idea to find out what's really going on with your overall health.
So you mentioned a couple of different organs that seem to affect, or you seem to suggest have an effect on weight gain. Is the thought that and it seems like as North Americans we're continually having a higher average weight than, you know, the previous decade. What are the issues around this? Is it a hormonal issue? Is it a just a nutritional issue?
Oh, it's a great question. I wrote a book called A Smart Woman's Guide to Weight Loss. And this book is all about how hormones are conspiring to make us overweight. And most people already know this, you know, especially women. You turn 40 and all of a sudden you haven't changed the way you eat or you exercise or anything and you start gaining all this belly fat. So, you know, low thyroid is one of the contributing factors. We talked a little bit about that and we can talk about more about that if you would like to at some point. Having blood sugar and insulin dysregulation. So when you put on 10 to 15 extra pounds, you start becoming a pre-diabetic. And then you gain more belly fat, it's harder to lose weight, you get, you know, lots and lots of challenges with blood sugar and insulin. And, of course, this contributes to our further weight gain. We have another contributing factor, which is in women, when their estrogen levels start to skyrocket, that also causes weight gain. And when we're under lots of stress, and I don't know anybody who isn't stressed out, when you're under lots of stress, your cortisol, which is your stress hormone, actually changes the shape of your fat cells and makes them resistant to fat loss. So there's lots of contributing factors to this weight gain that have absolutely nothing to do with what you eat and your exercising.
So if I'm sitting here listening to you somewhere across the country and you know, here's Lorna Vanderhaeghe saying, oh, it's not what I'm eating, it's what perhaps what I'm doing, what do I need to start doing differently?
It's a good question. Well, you know, I still think people need to eat lots and lots of protein. And you should have a piece of protein the size of the palm of your hand at every meal. Lots of green veggies and healthy fats. But I really do believe that people should have their thyroid checked, especially if you're that person who really has been good about calorie intake and exercising and you still can't lose weight. So have your thyroid checked. And if your thyroid is low, and this is the biggest problem we have in this country, all across the country. Excuse me. What happens is we go to the doctor, we have our thyroid checked. The normal range for thyroid is 0.5 to 5.5. In order to be diagnosed with low thyroid, you would have to be above 5.5. So the higher your number, the lower your thyroid. But we know anyone with a thyroid number above 2 will have difficulty losing weight. By the time you're at 5.5, you've packed on 40 pounds. So my first suggestion would be to get your thyroid checked, and then if your thyroid number is above 2, is to go on a thyroid support nutrient. And, you know, Health Canada has approved ThyroSmart for the support of low thyroid. It gets your thyroid hormone going back into the normal range. Your metabolism speeds up, You're able to lose weight better and easier without this big struggle. So that would be number one. And then there are three Health Canada approved supplements specifically for weight loss, ones that actually work. One of them is CLA. And CLA is a fat that burns fat, and I love it because all the studies that they did using CLA, they had people not change their diet. So they told them, take the CLA, but don't change your diet, don't exercise. And they did that because they wanted to prove that people would lose weight if they took the CLA. And the big thing with CLA, you have to take enough of it, 5,000 to 8,000 milligrams. If you take any less than that, it won't work. And it's just, they've even done a clinical study in postmenopausal women, the hardest group to lose weight, and they were able to lose 7 pounds in 90 days with no diet change, taking 5,000 milligrams of CLA. So I would add CLA to my program. I take it every day. They've got some great research now talking about CLA for breast cancer treatment, and so I think we're going to see other additional benefits with CLA over time.
You mentioned three products for weight loss. You talked about CLA. What were the other two?
The other one is Sevetol, and Sevetol is a very unique product. They extract it from green coffee beans, but it's not your traditional green coffee bean product. They have 9 clinical studies for weight loss. One of those studies had a 10.8-pound weight loss in 60 days with no diet change. They had people take 1,200 milligrams of Sevetol a day, which is 2 packets. And the reason why I love Sevetol is because you can put it into hot or cold water. And it's delicious. It tastes like this lemon-limed iced tea. Comes in little individual packets. And it works, it works, it works. And, you know, we all know we should drink more water. But water is boring. And a lot of women don't like to drink water. And so this is a great way to jumpstart your weight loss with also drinking more water. So put it into your hot or cold water. You can make a great hot tea with it. You can put it into your cold water bottle. And this is a great way to drink your way to weight loss.
We're talking with Lorna Vanderhaeghe. She's the author of A Smart Woman's Guide to Weight Loss. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about what you can do to feel better this year.